messages. Last week I said we were on number 5. I was wrong. We were on number 6. But this morning we come to the last message in our series of 7 entitled Navigating Life. And we've been using road signs along the way to help us understand different aspects of the Christian walk. And hopefully as you go through life and as you drive down the road or as you sit in the passenger seat and let someone else drive, as you see these signs as you go along, you'll recall what we've talked about with each sign in mind and each topic in mind. Today's message is probably the hardest for myself to grasp. It is probably the hardest of the 7 messages that I have done to grab a hold of and to hold on tightly and to obey. Through our series of 7 messages, we first began with our one-way sign, reminding us that there is only one way for salvation, that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no other way into heaven except through the Son. We also took some time and used the yield sign to remind us to surrender ourselves, to yield ourselves over to the work of God in our lives. We've been reminded by the keep right sign to live a sanctified life. Although we cannot be perfect here during this life, we are looking forward to perfection and glory, but we are to currently be striving to live that perfect life. We looked at the fork in the road sign, reminding us to separate away from that which is evil and to cling to that which is good. We use the wrong way sign to remind us of sin, to stay away from sin, to yield ourselves away from sin, to stay away from sin. And then last week we used the road work ahead sign to remind us of our service to Christ for what he has done for us. And today we come to our last sign, a stop sign, reminding us that as we stand before an almighty God, we need to practice being silent. We need to practice being quiet. Our world today gets way too busy. We live in a world where we worry and we fret, and we become impatient with others, we become impatient with God, we push for our own agendas, we strive to get ahead, and we strive to get what we want, and we shove other people out of the way, and we go, 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 but forget that whatever might be happening in our world is controlled by the Master. We need to cling on to our Savior. This morning, if you would, please join me back in Psalm chapter 46. Ron read this verse just a few short moments ago, and we'll be planting ourselves in this passage this morning in Psalm chapter 46, understanding that before an almighty God, we need to be silent. We need to still ourselves. We're going to look at 3 different things that God gives to us, that he is giving to us right now, and even in the worst of all circumstances, that he wants to provide for us. This morning, if you're in Psalm chapter 46, follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read it out loud once again. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolation in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the simple word, Selah. We're reminded as we come across this word, as we read the Psalms, Father, that it's a simple pause in the music. It's an opportunity for those that are singing the song and those that are hearing the song to remember the truths of what they have just heard and what they have just sung. Father, help us this morning to take a pause in our own life. To pause and look at all the things that you've done for us. To pause and remember what you want to do for us if we will only humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Father, help us this morning to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Help us to set aside the busyness of life and to remember that all you want from us is ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I would like us to sit back and look at 3 things that our God is willing to give to us. He's ready to give to us at any moment if we will just simply accept them. Though oftentimes we totally forget these things in times of distress and strife. We forget that he is there. This message, as I shared with you a few moments ago, is probably the hardest for me to preach. Because as a pastor, I'm supposed to practice what I preach. Unfortunately, I can't say that I always practice this one all the time. So this morning, as you're sitting here, you get to come hear me preach to myself. You get to listen in this morning. I've said in the past that I preach for an audience of one, and that's my Savior. You guys just get to listen in. Today, I'm preaching also to myself. Personally, I'm an impatient person. I want things, and I want them now. I don't want to have to wait for others or for the things to finally get here, wherever they may be coming from. But I'm an impatient person. Maybe you know that you have a piece of mail coming, and you are looking forward to that mail finally arriving in your mailbox. Or maybe it's a package from a loved one, and you're waiting, and you're wondering, when's it going to arrive? And maybe it's late a couple days, or it got shipped to Timbuktu, and they realized what happened and made a mistake and sent it back and whatnot. And you've had to wait days for it to arrive. Do you sometimes become impatient? Do you sometimes wonder what's going on? Maybe you know what it's like to go to a doctor and have to wait days for test results. Sometimes maybe weeks, or maybe you're on a medication that takes several weeks to take effect. And during that time, the doctors are not sure. They're unsure if the medication is going to help you, or maybe it's not going to help you. Last year, I was sitting at the corner of 18th Street and I-35. I'd just come off the interstate. I was sitting at the exit, waiting to turn left to come back up into our area off the interstate. And I was sitting there at a red light, and I was waiting, and I was waiting, and I was waiting, and I was waiting, and I didn't think it was ever going to turn green. The car pulled up alongside of me shortly after I got there, and he sat there, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And I looked back in my rearview mirror a few moments later, and there were cars lined up all the way down to the interstate, and we were waiting, and waiting, and waiting. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? I was watching the stoplights, and the traffic going north and south had turned red and green about 4 or 5 times, and we still had a solid green light. We couldn't go. And I don't know if there was a fluke in the lights or something or what, but finally, after about 5 minutes of sitting there with traffic all the way down, backed up on the interstate, waiting to get off on our exit, waiting for us to turn or do something, I looked at the fellow next to me, he looked at me, and we both kind of nodded that we were going to go the next time the light turned red for the north and south traffic. So as soon as the light turned red, we both stepped on it and went out into the traffic, even though the light was red, and there was nobody coming. But otherwise, we'd still probably be sitting there till this day. But the moment we pulled into that intersection, not less than 5 seconds later, the light turned green. I was getting impatient, but boy, that light took forever. I didn't think it was ever going to change. Finally, both got to go. It was that sort of situation that we wanted to go, but we couldn't. Have you ever been driving down the road and you've come across railroad crossing arms that are down, but there's no train? And you have to ask yourself, am I going to sit here and wait for the arms to go up? Am I going to turn around and go back? Or am I just going to weave my way in and out through the arms? You know, it's situations like that that sometimes we get stuck in and we have to decide what we're going to do. But what really irritates me is when there's signs on the highway indicating there's road work ahead, and you see the signs that say merge left or merge right to get into the right lane, and you see those signs miles ahead before you get to the construction. So you get into that right lane that you're supposed to be in, but as you go down the road, cars are still flying past you, and they go all the way up until the last point they can get to merge in, and they merge in front of you miles ahead before you're even there, and you're slowly crawling along. I hate that. Praise the Lord for semi-drivers that take up 2 lanes. I like that. I like that. But as long as I'm in front of them. But I like that. But you know, I get impatient sometimes. And it's situations like those that drive me nuts. I can be so impatient, so irritated at times. So this morning, as I said, this message is for me. You just get to listen in. This is a message that I personally need to practice in my own life and apply to my own life. And as I said, there are 3 things in this passage that I want to bring out before us this morning. And most likely you've heard messages on this passage before. You have been here in Psalm 46. Maybe you personally have been in these verses your own self and your own times of testing and distress. But hopefully this morning we'll be able to pull something out that maybe you've never seen before. Maybe it'll be new to you this morning. So 3 things that God gives to us. The very first thing that I want to pull out of Psalm 46 is that God gives to us a special blessing, a special gift that I like to call support. He gives to us support. I hate having to call technical support for help when one of my electronics breaks down. I despise it. Last year I changed my telephone service. I was getting rid of my long distance because we didn't need it anymore. And I called on the hotline number, the number I was supposed to call to change my package. And I spoke to someone that I really couldn't understand on the phone in the first place. But he needs a job, so I'll give him that. But I couldn't understand a word he was saying. And then the next day, after I had made the switch, I realized that what the guy had done was wrong, and I had to call back again. Oh, that irritated me. It drove me nuts. I was so frustrated. But God, this morning, I want us to see, provides for us support. He is there to help us. When my wife and I bought our car, our minivan, in the dash glove compartment, there was a manual. And in that manual then, I was able to learn what kind of gas I was supposed to put in my car. I learned how I was supposed to operate my seats, how, you know, they're electronics, they move forward and back. I learned how to open the doors with the different buttons that I could push, the sliding doors. Learned how to put the seatbelt on, you know, just simple things even that would be in the manual for us to learn. How to work the defrost, how to use the dome lights. It told me how to do everything. But what it did not tell me what to do was, it did not tell me where to go. It didn't tell me how many people I could let in my car or who I could let in my car. It didn't tell me when and where I could go somewhere. All it was a manual on how to operate the car. I would like to propose to you this morning that God gives to us a perfect manual, a manual that gives us answers for every situation in our lives, a perfect manual that teaches us and shows us how to live this life, and also prepare for the next. The Bible tells us that it has the ability to equip us for all things pertaining to life and godliness. That's found in 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. God gives us a manual and shows us how to make it through this life. So we have this support that He gives to us. Look in verse 1 of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. And then notice the response in verse 2 that is given, that we are to give in response to what He has given to us. Because God is our refuge and strength, it says, therefore we will not fear. We will not be chickens. We will not be scaredy cats. We will not fear. I'd encourage you this morning to underline that. We are commanded by God not to fear. Pastor, do you know how hard that is? You bet I know how hard it is. Remember, I'm preaching to myself this morning. You bet I know how hard it is. But because God is our refuge, He's our place of deliverance, He's our hiding place, and because He is our strength when we are weak, and He holds us up and keeps us from falling and from failing, we have nothing, you and I have nothing to fear. He is always there for us. Keep reading in verse 2. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, even though the waters roar and are troubled, even though the mountains shake with its swelling, think about this, right? Even though the earth is cast aside, even though the mountains are tossed into the sea, even if the waters soar and they're roaring and the mountains quake, do not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and our strength. Dearly beloved, I don't know what's happening in your thoughts and hearts this morning. I don't know what's been going on in your life as of late. But there may be things that you have been struggling with for years. But this morning, I beg you, I implore you, do not fear. We have a God that loves us. He is our refuge. He is our strength when we are weak. Do you remember back 12 years ago now? Y2K, the year 2000, the year I graduated high school. But I remember there were families in my church that were freaking out about Y2K. The power was going to turn off, computers were going to die, the world was going to go to chaos. I remember they stored up kerosene and unground wheat and flashlights and batteries and all sorts of stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, I think you should be prepared for emergencies. Don't take me that route. But they were putting their own faith and their own trust in their things that were going to get them through it. Not necessarily how God was going to take care of them. They were concerned about how they were going to make it through the impending situation, not about how God was going to care for them. This year we have another one, don't we? December 21st, 2012, the Mayan calendar ends. As the days creep closer to that date, you're going to see more and more people starting to freak out. But, you know, what's interesting is that people, again, are afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of what is maybe going to happen. But folks, remember, God is known. God knows exactly what's going to take place. He knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, if not even in the most next few moments. We know who He is, and we know what He wants for us to do, and that is for us to trust Him. When the doctor results come back with scary information, when your financial obligations tower to what seems to be unrealistic heights, when relationships falter and sometimes shatter, when loved ones pass on in death, whatever fear might be before you, whatever might be pulling you away, please realize that our God is in complete control. He is your refuge, He is your strength, and He is there for you. Will you acknowledge that this morning? Will you accept that? You know, sometimes we pray that God would give us strength to go through different situations. You do not have to ask for His strength, because He is already willing to liberally give it to you if you will only accept it. All we have to do is sit back and bask in it, to enjoy it, because it's already there if we will only accept the fact that it's there and not place our own faith in ourselves. Secondly, this morning, I would encourage you to understand that not only does He give us support, but He gives us security. This is one of my favorites, because when it comes to times of uncertainty, we can rely upon God. Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. What is He talking about? He's talking about back in verse 4, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Verse 4 speaks of a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. That's God's favor. That river is God's favor that He's bestowing upon us, upon those that are in need, and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Sailors, that pause again. Think on these things. Come, He says. Behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolation in the earth. When faced with trials and with strife in your life, remember that nothing can harm you. Nothing has the ability to separate you from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can harm you. Nothing can take you away from God. We are held in the Savior's hand, and the Bible says nobody can pluck us out of His hand. The Bible tells us that we are held in God's hand, and nobody can pluck us out of God's hand. When the worst situations arise, remember that you are secure in the Father and in the Son. You aren't going anywhere. You are stuck with super glue and duct tape. You will not be removed from that position. And one day when you do pass away from this world, which is only a temporal place, remember that your salvation is assured, and that your eternal home is in a place of complete perfection and peace. It will be worth it all, we sing sometimes, when we see Jesus. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase when we see Christ. There are often times that we feel like we are alone. There are times that we feel lost. There are times that we feel the life that we live is in hopelessness. There's a story about a servant who felt the same way during a trial time, a critical time in his life as well. Keep your finger in Psalm 46 and jump back with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Or 2 Kings, if you want to be technical. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. This is one of my favorite stories because I wish I could have been this servant. Maybe not in the beginning when he's scared to death, but at the end when he sees what he's going to see. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 8 says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' so he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Let me explain to you real quick what's happening. The king of Israel is trying to get away from the king of Syria. The king of Syria has made war against Israel. And the prophet Elisha is telling the king of Israel, don't go to this place, because once you're there, the king of Syria is going to be there too, and he's going to attack you. So every time the king of Syria tries to ambush the king of Israel and his armies, he's not anywhere to be found, because the prophet Elisha has already warned him not to go there. And the king of Syria is now asking, who among my men here, my captains and my generals and so forth, and my own armies, is telling the king of Israel my battle plans? Who's the traitor? And the man steps forward and says, it's none of us, it's the prophet Elisha, who is the man of God, telling the king of Israel not to go to these places. So the king of Syria now makes a plan to get rid of Elisha. He says, well, where is Elisha? And they say, he's in Dothan. So they go to Dothan. Verse 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to Elisha, alas, my master, what shall we do? Can you imagine the situation they're in? I see this little tent with two people in it surrounded by this huge, massive army, right? You got the servant and Elisha inside this tent, and the servant wakes up in the morning, and he steps outside and he's like, I need my coffee. He sees this massive army, and maybe he takes a few moments and he walks all the way around the tent, and he sees this massive army surrounding them. And he has no army of his own, and Elisha doesn't have an army of his own. And they're all alone, they're in big trouble. And because he's kind of found out by now, okay, if they surrounded us, that means they're coming for us. So he's terrified, and he runs back in. Can you imagine him waking up Elisha, shaking him to death, trying to wake him up? He says, alas, my master, what shall we do? This is why I wish I was a servant. Because look at verse 16, what Elisha does. So he, Elisha, answered, do not fear, for those who with us are more than those who are with them. The servant might have asked, like, what in the world are you talking about? Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Elisha prays for this young man. He says, God, open his eyes. Now, the young man had his real eyes open, his physical eyes, but he's saying, God, open his spiritual eyes. Let him see your presence. Let him see your protection. And he looks, and now instead of just seeing this entire army surrounding them, he sees a larger army of horses and chariots that are on fire. They're flaming. These are angels that are there protecting Elisha and his servant. I truly, firmly believe that surrounding each and every one of us today is a large army of horses and chariots on fire. We sometimes talk about guardian angels. The Bible doesn't talk about guardian angels. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we have guardian angels. It says that protecting us are a host of angels. And I'd rather have a host of the most than just one, because they are surrounding us and protecting us. They are watching over them and keeping them safe. And Elisha prays for blindness upon them. The great army is struck blind, and Elisha and his servant just go, da, 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 walking through them, because they can't find them. And away they escape. Notice that the servant was terrified. They were surrounded, they were in trouble, and he says, what are we going to do? And Elisha says, God, open his eyes. God, may you open our eyes today too. May you help us to see the truth. Sometimes we feel like we are all alone and there's nobody there with us or for us. And the life just seems hopeless. It seems like it's falling apart. But we need to remember, as this servant quickly learned, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He is there to watch over us and protect us. When the world seems to be falling apart, remember, you are supported by the Master's hand and secure in his grip. He will not let you go. Lastly, he gives to us serenity. Serenity. Look at verse 10. Probably all of us, if not most of us, have the first part of verse 10 memorized. Be still and know that I am God. We like to read that verse in a quiet, calm, whispering voice, don't we? be still, and know that I am God." I'd like to propose to you just quickly this morning that that's not how it's supposed to be read. It's a command from God. And we are thick-headed sometimes. We become dense sometimes. And to hear someone just say, "Be still and know that I am God," sometimes might not just cut it. As you look through the New Testament and into the Old Testament, oftentimes I will find opportunities where it looks like God took the person he was speaking to and just went, whack! Get it in your thick skull, you know? Or sometimes I call it getting kicked in the rear, you know, either way. But here I think the way it's supposed to be said is, "Be still and know that I am God." Don't have any hesitations. Don't have any fears. Don't worry. Don't fret. Know for a fact that I am God. Therefore, because of everything going on around you, all the turmoil, all the depression, all the discouragement, all the things that you're worried about, be still. Because you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to fear. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, it says. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's going to watch over us and protect us. How do we then bask in this support that we've talked about? How do we bask in this security of His love and protection rather than run away from the situations that we face? We realize that only He can give us peace. And He only. There are lots of things we search after and seek in this world for peace, but we cannot find it. He and He only gives us the ability to be still, to realize that He's in control. And because He is in control, we have the ability to bask in His support and His security. We have the ability to lay back and relax because we know He's in control of it all. He's in charge of it all. But if we refuse to turn to Him, if we refuse to lay our own fears and trembling down before Him, we will never be able to enjoy this gift that He wants to so freely give to us. Wouldn't it be great to live a life without worry and without fear? Wouldn't it be great to not have to live in constant fear of the unknown? According to God's Word, it can be done. All we have to do is trust Him, to depend upon Him. We trust Him for our salvation. We trust Him to hold on to our eternal destiny, to hold our souls in His hand, so that one day we will be standing before Him and granted access into heaven. But for some reason, we just can't trust Him with the things of tomorrow. We just can't trust Him for the problems that we face on a daily basis. Even though we understand that it's He who holds the things of tomorrow in His hands, we just, for some reason, cannot hand them over to Him. The Bible tells us that God knows what we can and cannot handle, and that He will never allow anything for us to, He'll never allow anything to enter into our lives that's too hard for us to handle. And if something difficult does enter into our lives, we have the assurance that we are not alone. We have the assurance that He is there leading and guiding, directing and providing for our very best. I won't ask you to join me there, but as I was studying for this, I came across this verse in Ruth chapter 3, verse 18. Ladies, you might like to write this one down because oftentimes we talk about the men all the time in the Bible. You know, men do this and men do that. Well, This verse is for women. Ruth chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Let me kind of read you a paraphrase that I found an author wrote it this way. "Sit still, my daughter, the apple of my eye, waiting as long as it takes until you learn, until you know, until you perceive, until you understand, until you discern, until you distinguish as truth, how the matter, the situation, the question, the thing, or cause will turn out. Because surely the man Christ Jesus, your kinsman redeemer, will not by any means be idle or silent or have any peace until he finishes his purposes, working until the job is done in his eternal now." Sit still. Be still. Have faith in God. When your pathway is lonely, He sees and knows all the ways you have trod. Never alone are the least of His children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea He will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust His word and be patient. Have faith in God. He'll answer yet. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him, and leave them there, oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God, he provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules, he reigns upon his throne. Will you have faith in God to allow him to bestow upon you his support, his security, and his serenity? Truthfully, the choice is up to you. He is willing to give it to you if you will only accept it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this message. Thank you for the reminder in my own heart and my own life of how I need to surrender my all to you. That in the toughest of times I can focus upon you, and you will give to me this support and this security and this serenity. That I can go to you for peace and for provision and for comfort. But Father, forbid it that I would lean upon my own understandings in all my times of discouragement and trouble. But may I always lean upon you and ask you and allow you to guide and direct my life. Father, help us to seek first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness. And we know at that point, all these things will be added unto us. In Jesus' name, amen.